Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for our church family and the fellowship that goes on in this church. We thank you for the word that Andrew's going to bring to us, and we pray that it seeps into our hearts and that we walk out and put...
It's good. This morning what I want to do is share my passion for God's word and hope that it's contagious. When I was a kid growing up in Nambour, Salvation Army, on the Sunshine Coast, I was on cricket, soccer in the backyard, and then this family showed up at our church, and this guy who's around my age, he's about a year older, but in those days, I think if you moved from state to state, you had to repeat a year or whatever, so I ended up in my grade at school, even though I was a year older, and he kept wearing this blue shirt with yellow stripes on it, and talked about football all the time. And like, I was from Queensland, right? And if anyone's a Queenslander in the room, you'd know that, like, sorry for everyone who's in New South Wales, but we just don't really care what happens south of the border. And so when you, like, talk about rugby league like it's some weird sect or religion, we just don't understand what I do now. Go the Broncos, just to stir you up. And my mate Craig Staines was an absolute footy head. It was like he was just off his face with football to the point where I didn't know, like, is this a planet you come from? Like the state religion and understand that. He was passionate. And this morning I want us to wrestle with what makes us passionate. What stirs up passion? How do you get passionate about the Word of God? More importantly is what I want to talk about. And I want to look, we're going to race through Psalm 119. Should only take us 3 hours because there's only 150 verses. So buckle in. Did you bring your lunch? And you'll get home about 3 o'clock. Really, you can separate Psalm 119 into four themes. So we're just going to look at those four themes and a few verses amongst that. And just look at the themes. Sorry if my PowerPoint didn't work. It's not my gift. If you have a gift of putting PowerPoints together, can you come and see me after church? Because I'm really happy not to do it. I had a guy at Westlake used to do it for me who's so much better than me. So if you can't read this, I'm sorry. There are sheets on your seats and I can give you the answers as we go along if you can't read the screen. The psalmist was a bit like my mate Craig. He wasn't fanatical about the rugby league, but he's crazy about the Word of God. And if you read Psalm 119, there's some weird phrases in there. You know, like this guy is genuinely in love with God's word. He can't get enough of it. A bit like that song we sang this morning was perfect zeal. He was passionate. And he says things like, how sweet are your words to my taste? That sounds like a romance novel, doesn't it? Well, in some ways it is. I meditate on it all day long. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws. Now, if you read through Psalm 119, there's a whole bunch of different words they use, like precepts, laws, decrees. They're all very much the same thing. And the word I love the most, if you look at the Hebrew language, is the word instruction. So what I want you to do is when you see the word law in Psalm 119, I want you to think of not a policeman doling out the law with a badge, but a father instructing a son. I think that's a much better picture of what the Hebrew mind was trying to communicate when we see the word law in the Old Testament. It's instruction that's going to help us live our lives. At least 10 times he says he loves God's laws. 9 times he says he delights in God's laws. What makes someone so passionate about something? I know for me, I probably told you the story. But when we were at Westlake, so we wanted to get a new photocopier, and the photocopier mechanic came in, you know, he's fixing the old one, I don't like salesmen, I'm sorry if you're a salesman. If you're a salesman, don't sell me more than what I need. Like, it just really gets up my nose. And so, you know, this is still 10 years ago, and he's trying to sell me the latest photocopier, you know, that did everything but make coffee. And he's trying to sell it to me. And I said something stupid but obvious. I said, I just want a photocopier that works. And you know what he said? Oh, you're asking too much. And you know what I said? I said, thank you. No one's ever been that honest with me before. And now I just expect our photocopier to break down. And I have a lot less stress about that because it has mechanical parts. It's just going to break down. Why was I saying that in the first place? Can't remember. There was a point. There was a point. I work! And I've said it before, if Christianity didn't work for me, I wouldn't waste my time with it. I invest way too much of my life in Christianity for it not to work. I'm sorry if you've come across Christians who can't seem to make it work, but for me, I love the Word of God because it's changed my life. I read it and it impacts my soul. More recently, I remember coming, I was laying in bed actually awake. And I thought, what part of the Bible do I want to listen to tonight at 2 o'clock in the morning to put me back to sleep? And I couldn't decide, strange, you know, little moment. But I thought, you know what, I really love the Gospel of John and the letters of John. And John's one of my favorite characters, probably David in the Old Testament and John in the New Testament. So just listening through the Gospel of John. And it came to this part in John chapter 17 where it says, Jesus praying for his disciples, and he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You know what? One of the things I love about the Word of God, the whole. I don't know about for you, but as you track through the world, and you find this, you know, like if you walk down the street with your bare feet, you don't want to get into bed after that, do you? You don't want to wash your feet at least. And so when you're tracking through the world and the gunk from social media or the gunk from, you know, the news gets on you or the gunk from old mate down the road who's giving you a hard time, where do you get rid of the gunk? Well, we get into the Word of God and it has this amazing power by the Spirit of God through the Word of God to wash the gunk off. And actually the Word of God by the Spirit of God can actually free our minds from crappy thinking. It can free our hearts from other people's judgments. I love, never forget being having the life judged out of me at another church one time we were leading. And I remember reading in Corinthians that said, Paul says, I judge no man. He said, I don't even judge myself. I went, there's freedom right there. I don't even judge myself. Where do you get wisdom from like that? Well, you won't find it on Facebook, unless it's the Word of God on Facebook. You won't find it on the 6 o'clock news most often. And you won't find it from Joe Bloggs down the road. But in the Word of God, there is gold that will change our lives. And I think I want us as a church to get just really sickly passionate about the Word of God. Okay, I'll try and get through my 4 points. The first one is, God's word brings freedom. That is just hideous, I'm sorry about that. The verses are on your sheet. If you want to just take the picture out, I don't really care. I'd rather them see the words than worry about the picture. What? Hey, I'm not artistic at all. Haven't you noticed that? All right, there's two verses there that talk about the freedom. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. There's two elements. Can someone, you reckon you could get that any higher? I know I'm short, but I'm not that short. Thanks, legend. There's two elements to this freedom. The first is freedom from sin and guilt. So the word gives us freedom from sin and guilt. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to one another, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've sinned lately, you feel you've fallen short of God's best, my question is, have you asked forgiveness? And the next thing is, as soon as you ask, you have it. That's what the Word of God says. That if we confess, He is faithful to forgive. So as soon as we ask, He forgives. Friends, that's freedom. That's freedom. I don't walk around in guilt and condemnation anymore. Haven't done it for about 30 years, praise God. Because I found that as soon as someone challenged me, who loved me, and when I was, you know, burning him with sins I'd done many years before, he said, have you asked God forgiveness for that? And I said, sure, of course I did, soon, you know, not long after it happened. He said, well, isn't God's forgiveness good enough for you? And I went, ouch. But he was right. Is that if God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. The issue isn't whether God's forgiven me or not, it's whether I've received his forgiveness, come into agreement with him, and usually forgiven myself. That's freedom. The second is the freedom that comes from the wisdom found in the Bible. So it's just wisdom. I'll give you a few examples. Free from the expectations of others. Free from confusion. Paul tells us God's not a God of confusion, but of peace. Well, isn't that great gifts of discernment? Next time you come across confusion, just walk away and say, well, God's not in that. God's not in that, because God's not a God of confusion. If there's not peace, friends, God's not there, and move on. Free from anxiety. That could put a lot of psychologists out of business. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Have you ever tried to make that verse work? I have. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that passes understanding, and even the best psychologists, which I'm a fan of, but passes, peace that passes our human understanding, will guard your mind. Who needs their mind guarded today? Who needs their heart guarded? What great verses. Hey, see the wisdom of the word? Next time you're anxious, what should you do? Pray. And if your head's too messed up to pray, find a buddy who'll pray for you. Hallelujah. That's why we're in a family. I don't have to pray for myself all the time. As you can tell, I can't even make a PowerPoint slide or get my stand the right height. So I need help. I need to be in relationship with other people that can prop me up when I can't even prop myself up. That's what the church is about. That's why we're in community, in relationship. Why don't you surrender your independence today and find a whole bunch of freedom in Jesus? Hallelujah. Independence is a drug you don't need. Hey, how good is it to see Sarah today? We love you, sister. It's always good to see you. We're still praying for you. Prayed for you this morning. Hallelujah. You know my devotions this morning? Is I can't remember the verse, but it was about healing. And it came, you came to mind. You came to mind. I believe God wants to bring healing in your life. And we're praying for that. We're believing for that. And we're cheering you on, absolutely. Number two, so God's word brings freedom. God's word brings sight and insight. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The Bible shows us the best way to live. The phrases, my feet and my path, remind us of how practical this direction is. You know that old saying, you may not have heard it years ago. They used to have this saying, oh, that person, my parents are painfully practical, right? Which didn't help me at all, because then I'm really intolerant to impractical people. It's not your fault, it's just my thing. And my parents used to say, that person's too spiritually minded for any earthly good. It's a bit harsh, isn't it, really? And I thought about that a few years later. I thought, you know what? I don't think that saying's actually true. Because Jesus was the most spiritually minded person that ever walked the face of the earth. And he was terribly grounded. He was terribly practical. People, I said it at Duralong on Wednesday night. If Jesus causes you to be weird, sure, be weird. But if you're just weird for the sake of being weird, I don't think Jesus was weird because people wouldn't have followed him for long. And they kept, there's something about him that caused people to want to know what that is. What is it about this guy? And sure, some weird stuff happened, but I think the love and the power and the joy and the hope that just oozed from his being caused him to be, you want to be attractive? I looked in the mirror this morning and thought, this does not do justice to the beauty inside. Does that make sense? And it's not my beauty, it's the power of God. I got enough love to share. You know, the problem is I come up, freak my kids' friends out because I want to shake their hand. I did a Caleb. You see Caleb this morning? I love Caleb. Shakes their hands. I do that awkward stuff, right? But I just want to love on people. I just want to connect with people, right? Stop looking on the outward appearance of yourself included. And the Bible says, I don't look at the things a man looks at. I look at the heart. God gave me that verse 30 years ago. I've never let go of it. And I look, love what he's doing in your heart. I don't look at your face. I look at your eyes because I'm looking for your soul. You've noticed that, haven't you? Because I care about what's on the inside. So does God. See, I love it. I keep quoting, what's his name? from Bethel. Jesus just thinks differently. And if you want to think differently, you've got to get the word into your mind and into your spirit. And you'll start to think differently. And you know what? Then the things of this world are not going to have the same effect that they used to. They just like become like, interesting, isn't it? Water off a duck's back. You know what keeps the water off a duck's back? Oil. Oil. So when we allow the oil of the Holy Spirit to make the word come to life in us, it becomes water off a duck's back. You can call me a jerk. I don't really care. I didn't ask for your opinion. I want his opinion. I want his opinion. I want his opinion. Whose opinion? I don't even want my opinion. My opinion of me is not always that great. You might have noticed. But I want his opinion. Where do you get your opinion of yourself from? The Word of God. Psalm 139. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that he should call us the children of God. Is that where you get your identity from? That's where I get mine from. Now you can chuck all the mud you want at me and it's not going to stick. Because I'm a child of the King. And he thinks I'm okay. So I'm okay. We need to come into agreement with the Word of God. None of that was in my notes, so you know, you could be here till 3 o'clock. The Bible shows us how to have a relationship with God, how to raise our kids, how to have a good marriage, how to be a good employee, etc., etc., etc. I'll give you example after example that I've applied in my life, and it just works. Changed my attitude, it changed how I worked for my old boss, changes all kinds of stuff. But it also gives us insight and discernment, and that needed today. Sure is. Verse 130 says, the unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I put myself among the simple. Gives understanding to the simple. That doesn't mean stupid either, by the way. It just means those who just trust Jesus. I will give you one example from that. I'll never forget actually learning about the verse in Colossians 3:22, I think it is, where it says, work for your boss or your master as unto Christ. And I've been on the Salvos Discipleship School for probably a year, worked on staff a couple of years, and went back to my old boss as an electrician in Brisbane. And I'd been, you know, discipled by the best tradesmen of the firm when I did my apprenticeship there, and they taught me how to be cynical towards the boss, mistrust him and slag him off behind his back, and then be miserable at work. And then I went to discipleship school and I learnt this verse. I thought, hang on a minute, I'm supposed to work for my boss as I work for Christ. And when I went back and worked out of that verse in my boss, you know what? I loved work. I didn't want to be an electrician. I wanted to be in ministry because I'd had a taste of ministry. But being an electrician had never been more fulfilling than when I applied that verse to my work life. I was working for my boss as unto Christ. You know what, friends? The Bible is full of wisdom like that, which will not only make your life free, it will make it rich and enjoyable and full of joy. And people will go, what's happened to him? Hey, the Word of God. The Word of God. God's Word brings life. Number three, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Man, we could unpack just that, couldn't we? Your eyes been on any worthless things this week? It's easy in our world, isn't it, to have your eyes on worthless things? Preserve my life according to your word. I'll never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. How's that? The word of God preserves our life. In these verses, the psalmist he's saying two things. Firstly, that the Bible can literally save our lives. The wisdom in the Word can save our lives, literally. I also think some of that, what he's saying in there, what the psalmist is saying, that God saves us from the attacks of the enemy. He saves us from the perils of life, all kinds of things out there. Who's worried about, don't put your hands up, it's a rhetorical question. Who's worried about the coronavirus? I'm not. I'm just not. I don't know why I'm not. I'm just not. I don't know why I'm not. You know? If you're worried about that, just start praying. Cottage in the highlands of PNG where there'd been tribal fighting And, you know, I don't like dogs that much. But in PNG, you like the dogs because the rascals are scared of them. And I remember God giving me this verse. I forget which psalm it's out of. It says, He will protect you from the sun in the day and the arrows that fly by night. And I went, oh, I'll take that. Because one guy had showed up at the, it was like a hospital, but it wasn't really a hospital. One guy had shown up this day. Three guys had shown up. One had been speared by an arrow. One had been shot with a shotgun. And it's all this tribal fighting going on all around us. And God just gives us this verse out of Psalm saying, "You know, the sun will not harm you by day or the arrow by night." And I was able to roll over and go back to sleep. Hallelujah. Okay, God will save your life. He will protect you from being in dumb places that could take your life. If we follow His word, if we apply His word to our lives. Secondly, the application of the Bible to our lives also brings quality and depth. I love this. I don't just want to take up space. I want to have quality and depth to my life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Not half-baked, watered down, you know, no flavor. The Bible helps us discover that we are not here by mistake, that God planned for us to be here, that He cares about us and has a purpose for our lives, and that we're deeply loved by Him. That's why we do network here. That's why we try to help you discover your passions and your gifts. It's actually one of the reasons Damien signed up to help run it, because it changed his life. He realized, hey, I don't just have to do everything. God's made me. God's made me like a hand in a glove, that I have a place in His kingdom where I can serve Him and be really excited about that. I can feel fulfilled in that. I can know why I'm on the planet. I mentioned names. And they were talking about their work. And they're in a job at the moment where their spiritual gifts and their passions are actually able to be manifested through their work that they do. How cool is that? That's the God we serve. That you can go home at the end of the day feeling so fulfilled and put your head on the pillow and go, praise Jesus for another full day of where I've made a difference in the world, because that's how God wants us to live and that's how His word can guide us. Number four, God's word brings stability. Great peace. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they who love your law. So if I don't have peace, I've got to question whether I'm loving the law today, hey? Whether I'm loving the word of God today. Because when I'm loving the word of God, it says, great peace have they who love your law. And nothing can make them stumble. Wow. Your word, O God, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. I just thought, I read a post on Facebook this morning that I didn't know how to respond to, so I just didn't. Thank you, Jesus. It's a good post. It's a good post. Talking about the future of the Salvation Army. And I had this thought, God doesn't need the Salvation Army, but the Salvation Army needs God. Ready? He can raise up another long jetty tomorrow down the road. Easy for God, easy for God. But we need God. We need God. And when we engage with Him, when we let Him lead, when we follow His plan, not only individually but corporately, man, we'll just be having a really good time and seeing the world change at the same time, seeing people's lives changed. I can sign up for that. If we love the Bible, we will have peace and stability. It is a firm foundation to stand on. It's a parable of the man who built his house upon the rock and the one who built it on the sand. They both heard the word of God, but the guy who had the firm foundation put it into practice. So there's no point listening to this today and going home and doing nothing. Nothing will change. But if you take something you've heard today and put it into practice, or you read something in the word and put it into practice, you will see change happen in your life. I guarantee it. Easy to guarantee, not even hard. This is my question, right? If our foundation is not the word and wisdom of God, what is it? I want you to think about this for a moment. And I've come across plenty of Christians over the years who their basis for making decisions and their basis for getting direction and basis for just their moral, own personal moral code is not the Word of God. Well then, friends, where do you get that wisdom from? And that second question I want to add to that is where you're getting that wisdom from as qualified as the Word of God to give you that wisdom? Hey? I want you to think about that this morning. I think sometimes we get ourselves in all kinds of messes because we apply wisdom to our lives that is not according to the Word of God. It might even be a cool Christian somewhere running a great church, but if he's not based on the Word of God, you're going to find yourself up a garden path somewhere going, how'd I get here? This is weird. No, not really. You just left the path. There's only one path. And it's the one Jesus made. He cut it out with his life. And there's only one of them. And, you know, as someone I think Nate said this morning, you can try other paths. Then come back to Jesus to get healed, is my suggestion. Or don't try the path. Don't try the path at all, would be good common sense. If our foundation isn't the Word and wisdom of God, what is it? And what makes that qualified? Here the psalmist is saying God's Word doesn't change. Is that good or what? You know, God's Word doesn't change. Let that mess with your theology for a while. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What that verse means, he's consistent. In a changing world full of froth and bubble, God's consistent. I'm looking for that today. I don't know if you're looking for that today. But, you know, last time I stood on froth and bubble, it didn't hold me up very well. But when I stood on something firm, something that doesn't change, something that can't move, you know, God can't stop being God, fall apart, because it's his perfection and his holiness that holds the universe together. I don't know. I loved, what was that? You know, when we were voting, and it came to me the night when we were in the moment, and I'm sure it's God because I'm not that smart, and we're talking about, you know, this is not about who we vote for back when before the election, and we're having those combined church meetings together. And realized that we weren't in the room to work out who we're supposed to vote for. We're in the room to acknowledge that Jesus has our vote first and foremost. That Jesus has our vote first and foremost. You know what, this morning I just want to tell you that I voted for Jesus. And every day that I get it right, I vote for Jesus. And so when I'm looking for direction, I go to his Word. When I look for comfort, I go to his Word. When I get it right, there's been times in my life when I've gone to people, good people, and I've come up short. Because people can't replace his Word. People can't replace him in our lives. I don't know a companion. I've got plenty of good ones. I have some great, great friends on the planet. But I don't know any who are like Jesus. I don't know any wisdom which is like the Word of God. And so, you know what, I'm always going to back it. I'm always going to vote for it. And, you know, you work out, and this is what I've heard recently. You know what, when was it Joshua who said, choose today whom you will serve? He didn't give him five options in a multiple choice question. It was life or death. I heard this recently, you know, that people love to sit on the fence. There's bad, bad, you do bad, or you do good, or I'm okay. There's no okay. And I heard someone say, you know why people don't like the Holy Spirit to come to church? Because he electrifies the fence. Hey? He electrifies the fence. That's not mine, but it's good, isn't it? Hey? Choose today. I sense God saying that to people today. Choose today whom you will serve. Where do you get your wisdom from? Life, the God who offers life, or somewhere else? Well, friends, the other option is only one. And if you take wisdom that doesn't come from God, it will eventually lead to death. Death of your marriage, death of your family, death of your work, death of your health, death of your, let me go on and on and on. So let's grab the band up here, hey, and I think I just want to draw that line in the sand. It's going, you know, today, whom will you choose? You know? You're going to get your wisdom from some weird site on the internet, some book of some great researcher. Everyone thinks they're great. Well, so what? Unless God likes them, I couldn't care less what they got to say. You know what I mean? Unless they back up everything they say with the Word of God, I couldn't care less about their opinion, how great a researcher they are, or how many peer-reviewed articles they've written. I couldn't give a stuff. Because I only care about the Word of God. This proven throughout the generations. Joe Bloggs, I want to get on to climate change, let's pick a different subject. But have they been around since eternity past? No? No? Where do they get their qualifications from? I don't want you to be arrogant towards people, but in our own minds, we've got to say, where did this person get their qualifications from? And then go, where did God get his qualifications from? Hey? You know, when God tried to explain himself to people what he said, the best God could come up with was, I am. What does that even mean? Because he had too much to share for poor Moses' brain that day. And the whole nation of Egypt. Can you imagine if God sent you up to the entrance to some drug den and said, when you get there, just say, I am sent you. Yeah, okay. Not sure I'm on the right diet today. Because God's too big. You know, God's too big to fight the devil. Hallelujah. The next time you see the yin and yang, just put a big cross through it. Because it's a load of crap as well. God's too big to fight the devil. It's not that good wins some days and evil wins some days. God wins every day. That's why that song about the victory is. We need to sing that one soon too, don't we? From Elevate Worship. You know that one? Been on the radio forever. If you listen to Rima Central Coast about the victory, they've been singing it for days. Every time I've got the radio on, maybe it's just for me. But that God always wins. You want to be on the winning side? Get on God's side. Anyway, I could rant on forever. What I want you to do, I don't know whether it helps you to kneel at the mercy seat, kneel where you are, but this is what I want you to do, because this is what makes a difference, is that in your mind today, that you make a choice that you're going to choose life. You're going to choose the Word of God, not the opinions of men. Forget about the opinions of men and start to get into the Word of God, study it, meditate it, pray it, write it out, whatever, memorize it, and make that your basis for decisions, and I guarantee you things will start to change for the better, if not overnight. So make that decision today, write it on your care cards, so we can join with you, whatever.